You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. Tonight, we're fortunate to have myself and Kelly Ward available tonight to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the callback and enter this number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we take your questions, I want to tell you about our sponsor, the Want Institute. The Want Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of Want training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want information regarding the Want Institute facilitator services, you can reach me at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com, or you can call the office at 949-723-0338. Tonight we have Kelly Ward, one of the facilitators on the line with me to answer questions. Kelly, are you available?
I am. I'm here with you.
Thank you. So what's going on with you and your groups and what you teach the ladies?
Oh my goodness, we're having so much fun. We've had some ladies get engaged. We have one that's on the very naked edge of getting engaged. And we're having a lot of interesting interactions with chapter 14 of Getting to I Do, negotiating time, space, money, and play.
That seems to be a big one when people get engaged. Very important. Dr. Allen goes over that. If anybody's out there and they want to know about the contract item sheet, we have Dr. Allen teaching it. There's a video on our website, www.drpatallen.com, that goes over how to communicate using the time, space, money, and play. There's a free access. So please join us and watch the video and learn from Dr. Pat Allen.
It's a great video. So one of the big questions that I just had from one of my ladies is, how often in the first year of your marriage or engagement do you renegotiate that contract?
Well, Dr. Allen says you do it every 3 months for the first year, then every 6 months for the second year, then once a year thereafter. And it's kind of like to clean up, you know, you find out you need to tweak this a little bit. Have you had any of your ladies, have you worked with your ladies regarding working on the negotiating contract item sheet?
Yeah, I have actually. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons my one lady asked that is because in the first year, they had to go over the contract 6 times because they had not lived together at all or anything like that. So stepping in to that completely unaware of the other person's, you know, habits and tendencies, and, you know, and often we talk about how one side knows the tools and uses the tools, and the other person isn't trained that way. So that takes time for adjustment. And sometimes you have to renegotiate that contract more often.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's a good thing to use the tools if you need to renegotiate the contract. Okay. But I think if you can, you can use some of the really great tools that Dr. Allen has for asking for an appointment and giving, of course, the topic. You know, it's always so unfair to say, we need to talk. And then the person stomps off and you're like, okay, about what? You know, so that fills people with anxiety. Do you find that's true?
I do. Another thing is, let's see. I'm trying to think of a case where the people, they're always stumbling with the contract. You know, it's the time, space, money, and play. And I think money is a big important issue because some people feel they're putting too much money in or they don't want to put enough money in because they don't have the same amount of money. And the sex. I know people who the husband wants sex every day and she's exhausted. So, but she gets resentful. So it's better to bring it up in this contract item sheet than to be resentful and start being angry at your spouse. So that's what I've seen in my ladies groups.
Yeah, I agree with that. I get a couple of people, some of the male clients that I coach, they say, well, that doesn't seem very spontaneous.
Well,
and I said,
remember
well,
what Kat
that's
said?
True.
Spontaneous causes chaos. Isn't that one of her quotes? Spontaneity.
That
causes
is true.
Chaos.
Right. And so the women want to say that's not very romantic, and the men want to say that's not very spontaneous. So sometimes I'll answer back, well, yeah, but you know, you got a sure thing if you negotiated how many times you're going to do it. So now you know you've got a sure thing going on. And so then they go, oh, I never thought about it like that.
That's true, because some ladies can say they have a headache for a month. But if you made a deal, you made a contract that you will be intimate and make love twice a week, then that's your commitment unless you negotiate it. So hopefully we'll get some callers that might add some questions. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. We'd love to have some callers and call us with your questions. Go ahead, Kelly. I'm sorry I cut you off.
I was just going to say, one of the interesting things is I have one of my ladies who has said to me, what's going on with my expectations for a ring and what he brought to me for a ring. And I was at first puzzled by what she meant.
Yeah.
And then I realized she wanted to be involved in picking the ring and she didn't like what he brought. And so she thought it was cheap and chintzy.
What did she do?
So, I got the definite sense that she made, a face. She didn't necessarily say anything, but I think that her gestures, postures, and body language screamed dissatisfied.
Yes.
So what would you have told her?
Wow, that's a hard one. Well, most ladies want the ring. Just to get to the engagement ring, and it's unfortunate, but I would accept the, because you're accepting his invitation and what he's willing to offer you. Maybe he can't afford a expensive ring. The ring is a status symbol, but you're with the man that you want to be with, so that's a little bit more important than the size or the design of your ring. You can always upgrade the ring later. That's a hard one, actually, because some women want it their way.
It was tough. It was tough. And, you know, so I asked her a series of questions to get down to what the brass tacks of the situation was. Like, wait a minute, are you in love with him? Is this the person you want to spend the rest of your life with? Because if it was the person I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, and he made the gesture, even if it was just a cigar band from a cigar, it's meaningful. Why is the monetary value of the ring more important than the symbolic meaning of the ring? Was my question for her.
And what did she
say? And so she said she had to think about that for a while. And then really it comes down to, you know, that old saying, keeping up with the Joneses. Like one of her girlfriends got engaged 2 weeks before and she has a 2-carat diamond engagement ring. And I was like, so it's for show? It's not for real. What is it? So I don't know, Sue. I mean,
I think she could. I mean, if you could also do a stroke and stand. I mean, if she's really animate on wanting the husband and the nice ring, she could say, I really appreciate this lovely ring. However, may possibly down the line, would you be open and available to me getting an anniversary ring, that a style that I would like? And then ask what he thinks about it. It would be called, he's got this, and maybe she gets a chance for a 5-year anniversary ring. That would be just another, you know, something to throw out on the table.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think it's always negotiable, but, you know, and my other girl who got engaged, her man gave her his grandmother's engagement ring, which is a beautiful antique, but it's very ornate and filigree from that time period. It's gorgeous. If I had have gotten it, I would have been like, oh, mine, I'm running away. But she wanted something modern. And I said, you know, this is a really tough area, Sue. I mean, it's a family heirloom. It belonged to the most favorite person in his life, his grandmother. And he honored her by giving it to her, and she was unimpressed. Well, and I mean, it's an impressive ring. Like, for example, it's platinum, and it has a big diamond. She just doesn't like the style.
So did she did she let him know, or is she just holding on, not saying anything?
She's keeping her yang mouth shut.
Well, okay, because I'm pretty sure Dr. Allen would say, you know, keep your yang mouth shut, unless he's doing something illegal, immoral, and ethical, you know. So, you know, you got the wedding, you got the engagement. They want everything. Some women want it their own way, but they're designing the engagement, the wedding, and everything. And the poor man is just showing up. That's not how it works.
Well, I think the one man was showing up, you know, actually, I think both men were showing up with the best intentions. The one man, you know, he gave her what he could. He wanted to say, I want you to be mine and I want to be yours. And the other man gave her a ring from somebody, like I said, his favorite person in the whole wide world, his grandmother. So those were really two tough situations that we went through in the last 2 weeks. And I was like, you are supposed to be overjoyed that you're engaged. We made it to engagement. Stop. Let's bask in the glory for at least an hour.
Yes, I know. I hear you there. So just to let you know, so Kelly does some group coaching, and she also does privates. And I offer a drop-in ladies group. I have a group of ladies that I offer probably at 4 or 5 times a month, usually on Mondays at 4 and Thursdays at 9, like every other week. If you want to drop in, it's a $10 donation, and I help answer questions. If you want information on my groups, you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. And if you want Kelly's services, you can also reach me at the office at info@drpatallen.com, or you can call 949-723-0338. And we also have Patricia Elton. She's not on tonight. She does some coaching and services. And we have a gentleman, Andy Shaw, who comes on the last Thursday of the month to give a man's perspective. And he's going to be starting a men's group. So if we have anybody that want their boyfriends or husbands to be a part of a men's group run by a man facilitator, trained by Dr. Allen, please feel free to reach out to me and I'll give you the information. So with that, Kelly works with Dr. Allen. With Dr. Allen conducts some ladies groups, and she's the facilitator. What's going on with Dr. Pat's ladies groups?
Dr. Pat's ladies groups are going really well. Currently, Dr. Pat's working with specifically the Myers-Briggs, having everybody do their Myers-Briggs, and then talking about the four elements of how they scored on the Myers-Briggs test, which is interesting. And she's also currently teaching ladies how to set their alignment and also set their expectations and do a plan for their life. So a life plan, a 1-year plan, a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan, depending on where the person is.
Can you go over what that, if the audience wants to know, since you're in, what is the 1-year plan and 3-year plan? If you can describe it briefly, just for the audience, if they want to know a little bit more about it.
So the 1-year plan is you set your expectations for what you're wanting to accomplish with respect to, interestingly enough, the same thing as the contract: time, space, money, and play. Where you want your career to go, where you want your romantic life to go, and what you're setting your expectations for business. So they set it out.
Do you write it down? Is this something you write down?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like a journal? Like that?
Yes. Yeah. You set your plan, and then you kind of journal on your daily journey of how it's going, what you can fix, what you can't fix. So when we meet back up for both the 1-year, 3-year, and 5-year plans, then Dr. Allen goes over, you know, you've set your expectations. What are you doing? How is it working? Are you setting your alignment? And it's really interesting because it sort of connects with the life script. They really figure out what is important and what is less important. And we have a caller.
Oh, thank you. Caller, you're on the air with Kelly and myself. Do you have a question?
Hi, Kelly and Sue. It's Kathy, one of Dr. Pat's students. I wanted to call in and do a shout out because we just had Mother's Day. And I know both of you are moms, so happy Mom's Day. But I also wanted to tell the audience that Dr. Pat has been a mom to so many women, myself included, not my birth mom, but she has nurtured so many people over the years. And I'm just so happy that I got to know her, and I hope she's doing well. And
she's 89 years old, but she's still running. She's still doing some ladies groups, still spreading the word.
I'm so happy. I'm not surprised. She's one of the most amazing people. But I just wanted to do a shout out and let everyone know that I had the honor, and I use that term strongly, the honor of knowing her and learning from her for over 40 years of my life and her information.
She got you married, didn't she?
Yes, she was a big help. I'm going on 28 years, and I was a career woman, just like the book, and became a woman with a career. And I just want to give a live testimonial that if there's anyone out there who's really struggling, to please, please pick up the book, Getting to I Do, and all her other books. They're amazing. And it really works. And I actually shared it with a lot of people over the years myself, and they're getting better results. So thank you for letting me do a shout out. Please give her my best.
I will.
And good to hear both of you sharing the message and keeping it going.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah. Also, there's some projects. I want just to shout out, if anybody's listening and they use Dr. Allen's material, either private or went to her seminars, read the book, and got married, if you could contact me and share a little bit about your story. We have some stuff going in the works, and we just want to hear we want to hear everybody's stories about how they got engaged and married with Dr. Allen's work. You can call me at the office or email me. And I just want to shout that out. We're looking for people that have used Dr. Allen's material, like Kathy Katz, to get married. We want to hear from you. So besides that,
there's Kelly, lots of them.
I know, but we're trying to get a track record just to see how many of them, you know, and hear their stories, if they're willing to share their stories. Just off the top, You talk about the linemen. A lot of people ask about that. Can you go over what it is about setting your linemen for the audience?
Yes. So every night, Dr. Allen wants us to, before we lay down and close our eyes to go to sleep, set our linemen. And so what she wants to you to do is three things that are for work or life that you need to take care of, items that you need to take care of, and three things that are going to feel good and feed your body, which feeds your soul. So you might say, okay, I need to cancel the internet. I need to put in a change of address, and I need to, you know, call these three clients tomorrow. And then I'm going to go for a long walk. I'm going to drink a cup of my favorite tea. And then at night, I'm going to make myself my favorite dinner, or I'm going to have a bubble bath, or I'm going to chat on the phone with my best friend. And okay, you write them down. Then you repeat them to yourself as you're going to sleep. You set your linemen for what you're going to do the next day. It's almost like a lesson plan for life. Yeah. And so, you know, and then Dr. Allen also says, you know, once you've set your linemen in the morning, don't open your eyes. If you remember a dream, you know, record it somehow, whether you jot it down with your eyes closed or you hit the mic on your phone and you record the dream to see what your subconscious is telling you. And after you set your linemen, sometimes the subconscious is going to tell you what it is about what you set that maybe is or isn't working. So it's very interesting concept.
Yes. And we have Patricia Eltage. She does dream interpretation. So if you have a dream that you want interpreted, you can call me at the office and I will connect you with Patricia for a service on dream interpretation. That also is very helpful for people as well. So,
yeah, and Patricia's doing life scripts too, right?
He does life scripts too. Unfortunately, Dr. Allen is not doing the life scripts, but Patricia Eltage is. And I do the ladies groups, and you do. I also do privates, and Kelly also does privates, and you do couples too, don't you, Kelly?
Yes, I do. I do ladies groups, I do couples, and yeah. I do privates.
Yes. And so, we're all taught by Dr. Pat. So we all have her material down, and we help the ladies maneuver. I help them online profiles, work through the dating working through dating, going out duty dating. And when they get the men, sometimes ladies, we self-sabotage it. I help them understand how they're self-sabotaging good relationships, good starts. I'm kind of like keep you on track.
Are you finding that your ladies are kind of tired of the online hookup?
Not really. I had a lady, she's been with me probably about 6 months. She begged to get into my group and I let her in, and she was very hard. She didn't understand the material and she fought. And then I had Patricia come on to try and help her because I wasn't getting any progress, and they kind of rallied around a little bit, and there was, you know, a little wrestling. But she did the work faithfully. She complained and she moaned and bitched, but she did her work, and she has got a great guy. And she emailed me the other day saying, "Sue, I can't believe, who am I?" She had done a complete change of her behavior in a matter of 6 months. And she has the guy of her dreams that she met organically. She was looking at flowers in a Trader Joe's. and
I love that.
He followed her around. So she didn't do the online dating, and she followed him around. And he wanted sex, and she said, "Not without commitment." He tried to say, but she held out, and he came around. So I told her, just be patient. And one thing is, I said, keep close to me, because once you get the man, they somehow seem to migrate back to being masculine again. They get comfortable. So you have to work with Dr. Allen's material 24/7 and probably a year or two and be aware of your behavior so you don't resort back to being masculine again. You'll break it down. Do you find that to be true, that ladies, they fake it till they make it, but then when they get the guy, they resort back to their masculine ways?
Yes. And one of the things I talk to them about is reminding them, everybody's masculine at work, but you've got to remember, even if you do something symbolic when you're on your way home, play your favorite music, stop and get a cup of tea on your way home, lock your briefcase in your trunk, whatever the ritual is to stop yourself from walking in with the work. They pay you to be at work for X hours a day, depending on what you do for a living, but everybody needs to have a work-life balance. And I find my masculine women, they have a difficult time with the work-life balance, especially professional women like attorneys and accountants. They want to take it home. And I'm like, why do you want to take it home with you? You've been with it 8 hours. Why do you want to take it home with you? Why do you want to put it in bed with you and your man? Why do you want to do that? Because you know what it is? It's the wedge. It's the thing that's making you masculine. It's the thing that's turning him off. So is that really what you're about? Is that really what you want to do? You know, you got to step out of that masculine energy.
Yeah. I think a lot of ladies want to appear to be just as smart as the men. They want the man to know how accomplished they are, but actually that repels the men because they don't want to be around another man who has accomplishments. They want a nice, pretty object that they can have fun with. So they want to just, they don't really, you know, they do care about your work, but they care more about how you take care of yourself, how you take care of your body, and how feminine you are. That attracts him more than your brain, as Dr. Allen says.
And I agree with that. And here's the thing too, women in the olden days, let's just pick biblical times, they knew something. They might be smarter than their mate, but they let their mate take the lead, and then they did whatever they needed to do to make things happen behind the scenes. And so, you know, that's one of the things I tell my ladies, like, what is a good wife? Are you wanting to be a wife? Want to be a wife? Then you need to figure out what is a good wife. And a good wife isn't competing. If you're competing, you're masculine. You know, conquering, competing, that's his job. Stop emasculating him. Stop taking off his testicles and putting them in your purse and carrying them around with you. And that's the other thing too. I have some ladies that are very mothering and they don't understand. Well, mother's a woman. No, mother is masculine.
Yes. Mother is masculine. I think mothering is yes. I get that all the time. When you start telling a man how to do it better or different, you're taking away his manhood and you're resorting to being like his mother, who he desperately wants to get away from.
I think that a lot of men do. They want to get away from the mothering of mother. They love their mothers, but they don't want to be a little boy anymore. And I have one male client who is a professional. He's incredibly intelligent. And he continues, I tell him, you know, you keep going to the store to pick a new box of cereal. And every time you open it up, you have the same thing inside. It's Frosted Flakes. Even though you're picking Life and you're picking Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you open up the box and there it is, Frosted Flakes. You've got to figure out what it is you're doing, why you continuously pick these women who emasculate you and mother you, which disrespects you. And he's like, like, I don't know how to do that. And I'm like, you have to listen to what they're saying. You have to listen. Both sides of the court have to listen. You know, when you're playing, even like when you're playing tennis with somebody, if you're not watching the person across the net because you're like, they're supposed to do this, you don't know what's happening. So I find a lot of my women are just like, they're not observing what the man is doing. And if you are observing what he is doing, you know, his gestures, his postures, his body language, sometimes what's not said is more important than what is said. I have one lady who doesn't like it that her man will not say, I love you all the time. He's not comfortable with that. But he does a lot of things to show her. And that's a man thing. That's a masculine energy when they show you, you know, and you may not recognize it. My lady did not recognize it. I'm like, he washes your car. He changes your oil. He makes sure he's there to carry in the groceries. He takes out the trash. You never have to ask him. Like, you need to just be like, he is like my hero. I can't tell you how many times my maid I had to ask to take out the trash in a single day. So, you know, this man is saying, I love you in different ways. He's articulating it in a physical way. And she wants to hear the words. Now, the words are great. And of course, you want to hear those words. But I don't know. The words can be very vapid and empty. The actions are really amazing. What are your thoughts?
Well, the one thing is that a lot of the women, from what I understand, they, you know, it all goes back to their mom and dad. If they pick men like their father, and if they weren't nurtured, they become highly masculine, which is very controlling. And in order to be safe, they control the man's behavior so they're comfortable, but they generally pick the weaker men that let them control them, more feminine men, because they're masculine. So then they end up, oh, he's not taking charge, but they actually set it up that way. In order for a woman to get a good, healthy man, she has to be in her feminine so the two energies attract each other, not collide. And that's very hard for women who have had fathers that were absent, unavailable, alcoholic, not, and train their little girls to be masculine. That seems to be the big thing, is that the dads train the women to be strong, and it's actually working against them. Wouldn't you say that?
I think that that is true in a lot of senses of the word. And I think that there's a thing right now with everything that's been going on in the world socially, where dads have kind of been put into this place where they better not say this and they better not say that. And I think it's damaging to the healthy growth of women and the healthy growth of boys when the, you know, with the way that they're being told, like, oh, you can't say this, you can't say that, and masculinity is toxic.
Yeah.
So I see a trend in that area. I have a woman who is a single mom, and
that would be her hard.
Son, her son is 13, and she's like, I'm having a really hard time because, you know, he's starting to be at that point where he's girl crazy. And if he goes up and talks to a girl, they're like, oh, you're toxic masculinity. And I said, yeah, you know, they're just repeating back something that they're hearing. They're not even really aware at 12, 13, 14 years old what that even is. So, but, you know, those kinds of words are maneuvering and manipulating in a negative way. And it's really difficult because she is a single mother of a son. And so she's tried to put him like in softball and martial arts and things like that. And she's really having a hard time right now with it. What would you advise?
The women try to do be the dad and the mom. I get that. But they have to, when the boy is over the age of 10, she has to start pushing him to be responsible. And I think a lot of women feel guilty and they coddle the son, and then it actually damages him because he relies on women to mother him when he gets older. That's part of it. So that's a hard one. And sports is always good, but now sports is saying, you know, they want everybody to, you know, competition, everybody gets a reward. There is no competition. So you're doing the same thing, taking care of everybody's feelings.
Right. There's no longer a reward for excellence. I mean,
competition that men need to compete.
Right. And so they never get better at anything because everybody gets a prize and everybody gets a trophy. So they're like, well, I don't have to do better. I don't have to strive for more. I got my trophy.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big problem. And so that's why she tried to put him in. Well, first she just let him try out and see if he liked softball. She let him try out and see if he liked this. So he ended up liking martial arts the best. And
that's a good one.
Yeah. So I said, I thought it was a great thing. His sensei is a male and he's in a dojo that's with all males, which I think is really good for that. You know, because they have a totally different way about them when they're not showing off for a girl and they're competing with other guys. So he's ended up really liking that. And one of the things is his outbursts. He was having outbursts. And the sensei is teaching him to control that inner wolf, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that it's been, I think it's been really good. I think she said she's still having him have some outbursts, but it's gone from like 80% to like 40%. So I think maybe time is the answer for that one.
Well, that's
time. Time in the dojo, time with the sensei, time in the mastery of the martial art, which is also the mastery of self.
Yes.
But she said it. She said, I'm not a man and I don't know how to show him how to be a man without being a man. And I don't want to be a man to my son.
That's a hard one.
Yeah. I think that she's made great strides in really trying to find a way to expose her son to masculine energy with just out bringing home strange men. She's put him in a situation where he can compete with men, be instructed by men, and learn. And so the things that he wouldn't do before, like his chores, the sensei punishes him in the dojo for not doing his homework, which is helping his mother at home with home chores. I thought that was really good. So this particular sensei is like pretty amazing. So I don't know if anybody else could find a sensei like that for their son. You know, single moms are having a really difficult time, but
and how old is I thought son it was again? Really, how old was the son?
He's just turned 13.
Oh, okay. So he's just. And also there's on our website, drpatallen.com, there's a list of recommended book lists. I think there's some parenting books on there as well by Dr. Siegel about teenage boys and stuff.
I think she talks about Iron John, and I think she talks about the Kingfisher Wound, and she also talks about Brainstorms.
Yeah, that's one I think. Yeah, that's the Daniel Siegel one it's about raising teenage boys. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's a different world than what we are used to, and dating and relating and mating and all that is so much different. Like Dr. Allen said, you no longer need to be married. Women can go to the sperm bank and men can cook their own meals now. So there's really not a need to get married. And that's kind of where everybody's divorcing or always just doing online dating or hooking up. It's kind of a lost art of marriage at times. Do you believe that? Yeah.
Somebody asked me, is it better to need somebody or want somebody? And I thought that was a really good question, because back in the olden days, there were things that we, you know, for example, my grandmother and my grandfather, my grandmother couldn't have her own bank account without my grandfather's consent. That was in the 1940s. Well, you go, that was a long time ago. It really wasn't that long ago, if you think about it. She had to go down to the bank with my grandfather, who, you know, signed a special paper so she could have a bank account. Well, he did it because he was going off to fight in World War II, and she would have just been there with nothing. So, you know, when you think about that, that was definitely a needs-based thing. My grandmother could have, you know, managed her own accounts on her own, but it wasn't allowed. Yeah. That's an interesting thing. So one of the questions my ladies have is, well, I don't need him. I want him. Isn't that better? And what do you think, Sue?
Well, Dr. Allen has the Want Institute. That there's a reason. Ask for what you want and say no to what you don't want. And what does she say? You only need food, shelter, and air to survive. And she uses a right. quote. If somebody was coming to buy your car and somebody said, I want to buy your car, or somebody said, I would like to buy your car, it's the same as in a way I need. We teach potent language. So she doesn't need a man. She wants a man, which is more potent. But what are her reasons? Does she want him for financial gain or a partner? Did she tell you what she wanted him for? Because maybe she needs a man, but she could need any person financially. A roommate could even. What is her reason for wanting a man?
She wants the physical camaraderie, the person that you wake up in the morning and you turn and you look and you go, this is my person. She doesn't care about the money. She doesn't need the money. That's what she said. I don't need a man. I want someone to love me, to be with me, to
right
cherish.
There, I would have to say, Dr. Allen always says, you have to love yourself first and then you share your love. And if she says, I want somebody to love me, she should be in love with herself first and share her love.
I 100% agree. And that is exactly the conversation her and I had. I said, I totally appreciate that you don't, quote unquote, need him. That you can take care of yourself. But your point in what you're telling me is you don't want to. You don't want to take care of yourself. You want somebody to care for you.
Yeah. She wants somebody to love her, which could be, a form of, they may not love her the way she wants. And we should all be in love with ourselves first, not rely on our happiness on somebody else loving us. Want to share the love. So that might be something to dig deep into on why she needs a man to love her.
Yeah. And of course, you're going to find out that her father left when she was 9 years old.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so we know how that goes. We know how absent father goes.
Yes. Yes. She never got daddy's love. So she's making up, and the next guy, she wants some guy to give her what daddy didn't give her. But I think that might be the wrong way of trying to get a husband, because obviously it could trigger her that, he's not loving her the way, and then she starts wanting him to do it this way. It kind of goes sideways, actually, from what I've seen. She has her own design on how she wants to be loved, and then it goes that way.
Right. That's the other question that I have a couple of ladies coming back and saying to me, I'm not liking this duty dating thing, or I'm not liking dating online. You talked about your girl met a man organically, and I've been encouraging my women to go out to like places like Trader Joe's or Cost Plus or places like that.
Guys are the places where
and presenting yourself, like sitting there. I forbid them to get their phone out, like no phones. You can take a book, a prop, go to a coffee shop, a tea shop. Don't go to Starbucks. Everybody's going in and going out as fast as they can, and they're getting their latte and moving on. Go to one of those little corner coffee shops where, a guy's going to come in, maybe he's going to sit down, have a cup of coffee. Try that. Try one of those places. Try walking through a bookstore on the weekend when a man.
So I've known ladies in grocery stores, but you have to spot the guy and kind of circle around him so he sees you. He's not just going to come up and you've got to let him know.
I told my ladies, learn to read the room. You walk into the grocery store and you see the man with one of those little baskets on his arm. That's a single guy. You see a guy and he's got a steak and a couple of potatoes. And, a six pack of beer in his shopping cart. He's single. That is a single man. He's got Kellogg's, Fruit Loops and all this stuff in his cart. He's not single. He's shopping for the family. So, like, read the room.
Yeah. So let me ask you, I have an old, you know, I get a lot of elderly ladies, and I'm older too, but they go on dates, and, you know, I think they have the thing is that they're old and nobody wants them. So because of her mindset, I'm just throwing this out. Her mindset is setting her up that she's old and nobody wants. And that's the energy she's sending to her dates because they all don't call her back. What would you say on a lady who says, oh, I go out and duty date, but I'm older, and she goes through the list of her reasons why she thinks the guys don't like her. Even though she doesn't.
I love it. Yeah. I love what Dr. Pat says about how many journeys you've taken around the sun. And so it's a number, and it's how you feel about yourself. I encourage my older ladies who say, well, I feel old and I look old. Then I say, I encourage them. I say, then let's do this. Let's make a special trip. Let's put aside some money every week. And then let's go to some place, a spa or somewhere, have our makeup done, have a little makeover, you know, put on some sort of a pretty dress or buy a new dress and just walk out like that with your new confidence and see how you react. Stop thinking you're old. Look at yourself in the mirror and look at your attributes and count your attributes instead of the negatives. Okay. So my skin is crepey now. Well, all right, let's find some lotion or some treatment that'll make you feel better about your crepey skin. Well, I have bags under my eyes. Okay, go get some preparation H, put a little preparation H under your eyes. It's going to shrink that tissue. The bags are gone. Will they come back the next morning? You bet they will. But guess what? Get up and do it again. Get up and do it again. You know,
and also,
pick your...
When the ladies go out there, you have to have a mindset of positive. If you go in there already setting yourself up to be rejected or not good enough, they can sense that. They sense it. It's the energy. I truly believe it. It's always amazing how when you have a boyfriend, all the guys want you. But when you don't have anybody, because you're, oh, poor as me, I don't have a boyfriend, nobody wants you until the minute you get a boyfriend, then because you're happy.
That's the funny thing, but you're right. It's all about self-love. If you don't like yourself because you're old, you know what? Here's the thing. You made it this far in life. You know, take those silver hairs and consider those glitter from everything you've been through and survived, and embrace that part of yourself, because you know what? Aging is a natural process. Stop using it as a crutch. And I tell my ladies, you're using that as a crutch.
As Dr. Allen says, there's a lid for every pot. You just haven't found it yet. And you have to keep going out. And like I said, in my ladies groups, I listen to you and I help tweak what I see might be repelling. Because you cannot self-diagnose yourself, no matter if you're a therapist or this. You cannot look within and see what you're doing that's repelling it. You need a second person. So I truly,
you need a mirror.
You need a mirror and somebody to guide you, and you have to be open and receptive to change. I can give you the material, the teachings, but you have to do the work. You cannot just read a book. You cannot just go out and duty date and say I'm feminine because I wore a pink dress. It's a little bit more detailed than that. And it's very hard to explain it to ladies that it's a whole behavior change. And it takes like 6 to 8 weeks to change a behavior once you're aware of it and once you start doing the work. So unfortunately, we haven't had too many callers, but we carried on a pretty good conversation, I would say. Hopefully some teaching.
Oh, I do too, because I think that a lot of these things are the things that my ladies have been talking about. And I think we've gone over some really great points today. And I think this has been successful. And I'm getting messages from some of my ladies that are like, that's me.
Well, we don't care on who we're talking about, but everybody has their story, and their story is very similar to every other lady's story, but just a different name. It's, you know, Everybody is working, doing their best to draw in a man or a woman, you know, for to have love, to grow old together. So with that, we're running out of time, and we want to tell our callers to call, to hopefully call, listen in next week. And you can, if you're not available to call in, you can email me your question and I'll answer it on the radio and you can listen to it later. We do email questions. And next week we'll have Patricia and myself available. So Kelly, do you want to say any words to the audience for the last goodbye?
Just tell everybody I love them and I'll be back when I'm back.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And if you want any information on any of Dr. Allen's material or a coaching session or a group session, you can reach me at the office at 949-723-0338 or info@drpatallen.com. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.